Uribeck took a shot. Oh my god, I didn't even catch this. Yeah.
Who?
Our buddy. He said the suggestion that Flacco's hip injury is a cover for team benching veteran starters off the mark.
Yeah, I retweeted that.
Flacco's hip injury. God.
Thought you meant another one.
No.
Yeah, it's wild. All right, so let's get this moving. In 3, 2, 1, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the bye week version of NZI. I've lost track of the episodes. I don't think it matters at this point.
But that's good. We've heard that many episodes. It doesn't even matter anymore.
Right.
You're not keeping track at home. We're not anymore either. We're joining you.
Right. So a couple of big things have happened this week. One of them involving the podcast. I don't really have too many details yet, even though this has been in development for like a year and a half. So I don't really know how it works. However, the podcast is the Neutral Zone Infraction podcast is now going to be part of the what's the official name? The Fanimal Sports Network. Is that it?
Let's go with that for now. We'll tweak as we go. But yes, the Fanimal Network, I guess, is what we're calling it these days. Part of Russell Street Report. So I believe we might want to edit that part out real quick. But
Nah, we'll leave it. It's the same guy, right? It's Tony Lombardi. So, I feel like because he was talking about us being under one brand and we decided we wanted to be under one brand. So we're not going to strike out on our own anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be on the Fanimal Network. I will still get us up on iTunes because I know a lot of you guys prefer that medium. But other than that, man, we are we're branded. We're company men. So it's big for us because we're going to have some more sponsors and hopefully expand our listener base and things like that. So for the guys and girls that have listened the entire time, all 38 of you. No, I'm kidding. thank you for that. Hopefully you will continue to follow us and continue to listen to everything that we do. So how was your week, buddy?
It's been a week. It's kind of weird to not have anything game-wise to look forward to next week. It's, just kind of a sitting duck at this point. My optimism this week was, hey, we're not going to lose on Sunday, so that's a plus. It was weird. The bye week is always a weird week, right? It always gets that feeling of like, and it's even worse when you're, by the way, 3-game losing streak and you're just kind of simmering. Surprisingly, not as bad as I thought it would be, though.
Right. It doesn't really feel like it was expected. But it also doesn't feel like it's as bad as it could have been for whatever reason. Neither one of us really had that feeling like, oh, the team's going to go all the way. So it's not as painful as it normally would have been. So as you guys know, these episodes are generally sponsored by SeatGeek. That hasn't changed this week. If you were planning on going to any type of event, be it a Ravens game, a concert, anything like that, go ahead and use the SeatGeek app. It's a ticket buying app for those who are unclear. It gives you kind of good, better, best, bad options as far as buying a ticket. Go ahead and use the promo code CHIBS, C-H-I-B-S, for those of you who are uninitiated to who we are. You will get $20 off of your purchase. I have seen it in action. I know that it works. So go ahead and use that on your next ticket buying experience. So, sorry, child just walked into the room, so I'm going to have to go ahead and edit that out.
I didn't hear anything. Let's keep on trucking.
All right. We are not going to touch on what happened against the Steelers because it is Friday. Everybody knows. Who gives a shit? Move on.
Right.
However, we do have some news. On the heels of Dez Bryant potentially tearing his Achilles, we got news that Joe Flacco has a hip injury. It apparently occurred on Sunday. He could not sit down on the sidelines. He was trying to work it out. His status for the Bengals game is in danger. So that means multiple things. One, you could potentially see Lamar Jackson starting. You could potentially see Robert Griffin starting. You could potentially see Joe Flacco starting. I mean, who knows? So, Adam, what's your take on the whole situation?
That it's not a conspiracy theory. Oh, we're not going to go that route. Okay.
Not yet.
No, not yet. All right, we'll go the straightforward stuff here. So I haven't gotten into it yet, and I really do want to go back and watch the game tape to figure out exactly what play. I, you know, talking to a buddy, it looks like from what he remembers or what he recalls that it was a Q1 injury. So it was early in the game. So that tells me a couple things right off the bat. We beat up, and I say we, I mean generally speaking, Ravens fan base and media and whoever, you know, even the national level, about Joe's short throwing and skipping passes to guys and missing guys that were wide open in that game. You use your hips as a quarterback, right? I mean, use your hips at every position in football.
Right.
But to be able to throw the ball accurately and with a little zip behind it, you got to turn your hips, right? So it kind of explains, and I'm not giving him a free pass. I'm saying that that is part of the game, and that's, you know, the injury affecting him, I guess, is what I'm saying. So it was kind of one of those, as soon as I heard about the hip injury, it's like, ah, crap, that makes a little bit more sense now. That being said, I'm also going to give him some props because he played through the shit for three quarters plus. And I guess people in their heads, well, it's not like he tore his Achilles like Dez, or not like he blew his ACL. Okay. So
how often do players play with a, we've seen him play with a torn ACL and a torn MCL before.
We're talking
anyway.
About the difference.
I mean,
right.
When it happened, he finished that drive. So
we're talking about the difference between Joe playing with a fucked up hip versus, well, Ben Roethlisberger has a sprain in his finger on his non-throwing hand, and he's just not sure how strong he's going to be. It's bullshit like that, you know? So in an age where quarterbacks, you know, constantly throwing their arms up for flags, constantly going down with these minor injuries, all kinds of crap like that, to see Joe play through that or to hear he played through that, and like you said, he can't even sit on the bench. I mean, that's a good sign for – God, I'm so torn, man. I love Joe. I do. And I throw shit at him all the time. Every single time he backfoot throws or under throws or whatever it is that he does wrong, makes a bad read, throws right to the other team. But then the stuff like that, I'm like, man, that's a great trait in a quarterback to be able to play through stuff like that. And he does it all the time. I think I know our buddy Logan tweeted this out earlier, Logan Levy over at Baltimore Beatdown. I think he said this would be Joe's seventh game he's missed in his career.
Yeah, career since 2008. First game of 2008 is when he started. He has only missed seven games his entire career.
I mean, that's phenomenal. That's huge. And six of those were from the ACL, right? Or five of those were from the ACL.
Right. Six of them were from the ACL.
There you go.
Because
so,
this will be the seventh one. He didn't. You're thinking of that Kiko Alonso injury, right? He
didn't
miss
the
next week.
Yeah.
He was bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was back the next game.
Yeah. So that's where we are. I mean, I give him props for playing through it. I don't expect him to continue to play through it if it's that big of an issue. And I'll put on my tinfoil hat for a second. I think it helps his value moving forward if he doesn't force it and make the injury worse. Let him rest a couple weeks. And then if you can get him back in there and it makes sense, get him back in there. If not, well, I'm sure we're going to talk about that here soon. But the scenario is of who's starting and who, you know, what happens if there's, oh, or, you know, say it's 2 weeks. What happens if the Ravens go 2-0 or 0-2? And then we kind of build from there.
Right. So let's move into those scenarios. So let me give you mine, right? So, and I tweeted this. I said, if Flacco is injured and is out as long as initial reports or rumors say, the Ravens are in a bad spot. If they attempt to save the season, it wouldn't surprise me to see RG3 under center. If they're leaning towards a good draft pick, LJ would be the likely decision. Now, I'm team RG3. From a football standpoint, from a Ravens fan standpoint, wanting to win, knowing how the Ravens work, where they don't like starting rookies if they don't have to, his veteran presence kind of makes more sense. All right. And he did have a good preseason. But I'm also kind of team LJ from a, you know, let's see what he's got. And, you know, part of me is like, I hope I'm right because I enjoy being right. The other part of me is I hope I'm wrong because I want to see my team win. I don't know. I think it's an optimal place for LJ to start because he does face the NFL's easiest slate of defenses
right
over the second half of the season. But at the same time, I'm torn on this because, and I've tried to explain this to so many people when I'm like, I don't want LJ to start yet. They're like, oh, well, you're a Joe Flacco lover. That's not the case. I don't particularly like Joe Flacco either. However, if you want Lamar Jackson to succeed, you want to put him in the best optimal situation that you can, right?
Right.
Being behind a banged-up offensive line with John Harbaugh and Marty Morningweg as your offensive coordinators with a struggling run game and an aging defense that's inconsistent, wide receivers that are having drop issues, it's not the optimal situation for him.
No. No, well, so here's my thing, and I put that let's see if I have any traction on this thing yet. But I put that tweet out earlier, that survey, that poll, whatever you want to call it. Who's the starting quarterback come week 11? As of now, I have 70% Lamar and 30% Bob on 100 votes. So I think that's who fans want. But here's where I stand on this. It makes sense for the future to start looking at Lamar. Sure, whatever. I don't think what you're going to get in the final 7 weeks is going to change your decision for the fact that he's going to start 2019. Would you agree? If they rebuild, yes?
No, yeah, absolutely. Right. I don't think these final games have any bearing on 2019 whatsoever.
Correct. So that being said, ultimately, this is a coach decision, as far as I'm concerned, or should be a coach's decision. John Harbaugh is without question on the hot seat, right?
Right.
If he believes that Lamar Jackson is not ready, there is absolutely no reason to start him. If he thinks Bob, Robert Griffin, RG3, I'm always right. A Bob guy. Bob. He thinks Bob's going to give him the best chance. Then you start Bob, period. There's a reason that he's been healthy scratched. There's a reason he's still on the team. I believe that makes the most sense to me. And, you know, I'm a Lamar guy. And we, you know, you and I are literally, I don't think we're at the polar opposite ends of this thing, but we're fairly far off where I think that he can succeed in the NFL and you think he's going to fizzle out, not necessarily right away, but he's not going to be what everybody hoped for him to be. He's not going to be worthy of the first round
pick. It's impossible for it. And that's another point that, like, people have always contended against me. When I say that Lamar was overhyped, like, look at the hype that Lamar has to live up to.
He is the hype of a number one overall.
Right. He has to be Michael Vick combined with fucking Aaron Rodgers. He has to be the best at the position for these people to be happy with how much hype he has had. People have put him in an impossible situation. So when I say that Lamar Jackson is not going to live up to the hype, he's not. He might be a good quarterback. He might be a stopgap quarterback. He might be a bust. But no matter what he is, he's not going to live up to the hype that people put him in. It's every day that I see people just riding him into the ground. And it saddens me because he's a good kid. But he's never going to live up to that.
Right. So, and, you know, and it's not just an LJ thing. That's not a shot at him. And I get that. And I totally understand where you're coming from. And the comparison I would make, and this is my analysis, Justin Herbert for Oregon, who is maybe coming out next year. If he does, he is not, to me, a first-round quarterback whatsoever. No. But he's going to get picked in the top five by the Giants, and he will have that same problem where he's going to always be viewed as, you're a top five pick, you should be a really good top half of the league, top third of the league quarterback, and he'll never, as far as I'm concerned, never be that guy. But that's kind of the boat Lamar's in. And honestly, if Lamar was going out in this draft, you know, if he didn't come out last year when he was going to, no matter what, if he were to come out this year, he would be likely a top three pick.
He'd be the first quarterback. Yeah, he'd be the first quarterback off the board.
Right. And as I said about Herbert, he would have been fifth or sixth last year. So I think there's something to be said about. But we don't have to go down that whole rabbit hole right now.
Look,
my point is
Lamar is an amazing athlete. Okay?
Yes.
Amazing athlete. Somebody compared him to Michael Vick again earlier today. And I don't think that comparison is all that far off, because if you look at Mike Vick's career completion percentage, if you look at his yards per average, if you look at these statistics, that's likely where you're going to see Lamar Jackson.
Right.
And guess what, guys? Those statistics for Mike Vick are not that far off from Joe Flacco's.
Right. But so we kind of looping back here to who is starting. As far as I'm concerned, it should be Bob because it's John Harbaugh's call and he's trying to save his job. He does not give two shits about the 2019 Ravens if he's not on the team, right? He doesn't care about the 2020 Ravens. He cares about the here and now and winning. And if he thinks the best thing to do for his team to win, the best position he can put them in is starting Bob, then that's who should start.
Which, as much as I love Lamar, means that is, you know, if Bob should start, you and I think agree on that.
Yes,
I agree. That automatically means that Lamar is going to start because, well, they don't make smart decisions most of the time.
Well, right, and I think that, you know, it's been talked about it's been talked about a lot. By the way, I did pull up the Game Pass while we're sitting here talking. I'm painfully watching some parts of that game. First quarter, 12:45 left, so it was only 2.5 minutes into the game. Second and 13 was right after the Lamar fumble handoff to Gus Edwards. I'm talking about Lamar. Flacco got literally pancaked by Tuitt, but it was like three guys piled on top of him and rolled his hips. So that may have very well been the play. There is no replay of it up close, so I really can't see from a different angle, but that looks like the play where it was. So you're saying he played literally every single minute of that game, sans 2 minutes and 15 seconds of the game with a hip injury that literally would not let him sit. So.
No, it's a conspiracy, Adam. God damn it.
It's a conspiracy. They faked his injury. Yeah, I'm surprised the next conspiracy isn't he's going to get popped for PEDs because they slipped it in his Gatorade when he wasn't looking.
Right. It's unbelievable, dude.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think Bob's the guy. I think it makes more sense right now. The problem's going to be if they start Lamar, and we, like you said, that's probably what's going to happen anyway. If they start Lamar, the first thing you'll get is if he fails, it'll be, well, they put him in a bad position because this team's not good enough. They're not ready. The offensive line, all the issues that we've been saying, hey, Joe's not succeeding because of the line, because of the run game, because of the receivers lacking separation, and everybody shits all over it and says, no, it's Joe's fault. Those will be the same things they'll say. Well, Lamar can't succeed because of ABC, and it'll be a very hypocritical what we're used to, right? So that's going to be bullshit. So that'll happen first. The second thing is the other side is if he starts winning – then it'll be a challenge for Harbaugh to get Joe back in without getting a bunch of flack from fans. I mean, he's already going to get it no matter what. For me personally, it makes more sense for Harbaugh's sake, too, in that situation to put Bob in. Because if he loses, we still said he was the best guy. Lamar's not ready yet. This makes more sense. And we're still losing. Okay, back to Joe.
Right. We kept Robert Griffin.
Right.
Yeah.
But and if he wins, we're still going back to Joe and nobody's going to complain. If you go to Lamar and he wins a game, say again, I'm using two as the litmus here because it could be I've heard everything from one to three and it could be more, who knows. So if he, and I'm using two as the middle ground here, so if he splits and Lamar wins one game, that's enough for people to say, well, it should be Joe. Or even if he goes 0-2 but the defense blows, again, any scenario that doesn't result in, you know, end in Lamar throwing four picks over two games or three games and he's just completely shitting the bed, people are going to say that he needs to stay in there and Joe needs to sit. And that's not the case for a million reasons. For me, the biggest is trade bait. But let Joe ride out the year, man. Once he's healthy, he belongs in there under center. And there's nothing you can say or that I would see in the next 2 weeks that could convince me otherwise.
Right. Everything he has done for this team, as much as people like to pick Joe Flacco apart, everything that he has done for this team, he deserves to be the starting quarterback. And you know what? If there's flack from fans, hey, Harbaugh said at the beginning of the season, Joe is our guy. Joe is the starter. Joe is the starter. He said it over and over again. And I want you to know, Adam, that for the people, and there will be people that say anything about Lamar, I already have counters lined up for every single scenario I can think of. Lamar succeeds. Yeah, he faced easy defenses. Lamar fails.
Yep.
Why? He faced easy defenses.
Yep. Yep.
Over and over again.
You got it. I literally just had somebody tweet at me. Random thought. Could Joe not be hurt so bad, but this team, but this B team's way of intro change while letting Joe save face. Basically saying Joe's probably hurt, but maybe it's not that bad. And they're letting him save face while they let Lamar take over. God, people are stupid.
Jesus. I almost hope he does have surgery just so I can like just quote tweet all this shit.
It doesn't matter.
Like, oh, really?
They'll still say it's fake news. They'll say they got the doctor to stage something and that it never really happened. And that, like, oh, you know, John Smith saw Joe walking around the airport, you know, or doing the Singing in the Rain Fred Astaire outside in the streets. They'll come up with something, you know. It'll reference. Be some bull crap, right? That's actually the second time I've used that this week. I have a redundancy problem.
Yeah, we know.
Yes. I haven't said it yet. I'll find it. I'll work my way into it eventually. You know it's coming. So that's where I am.
Yeah, you say it. Man. I mean, you say it ad nauseum. So
there. All right, fine. You take it this week. It's fine. It's fine. So
it's a little bit ridiculous, man. People are like, oh well, maybe they're just trying to tank themselves into a bigger draft pick, blah blah, or you know, maybe they've given up on the season, this, that, and the third. Like, guys, please just stop. It's absolutely ridiculous.
There's jobs on the line. If I'm John Harbaugh, I'm not going to be like, you know what, Joe, you sit this one out. Take it easy. We're worried about the future. No, he's not. He did not get fired in the off week. You know, during the bye week, he has not been fired yet. He's not going to be fired now. If they did not fire him on Monday or Tuesday of this past week, he ain't going anywhere. Marty's not going anywhere. Roman's not going anywhere. Wink's not going. None of the coaches are going anywhere. Nobody's getting demoted. Nothing has happened with this team any different other than dealing with a few injuries that we have seen. So for people to throw on tinfoil hats, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Speaking of which, we need to move into quarter two.
Let's do it.
So I hate to cut you short, but no. Since we've been talking about Harbs, give me a breakdown of what you think the head coach is responsible for, Adam.
Take all the glory when something goes well and then throw all the blame at everybody else when it goes bad. Or at least that's what it seems the fan perspective is of what a head coach is good for. John Harbaugh won us the Super Bowl, but it's not his fault when we have a 5-11 season or this year. Right. That's everybody else's fault. I see he is responsible for, and this is not even the head coaching position in general, very specifically what Harbaugh is responsible for, in my opinion. I believe he has... and maybe not his entire career, maybe we'll say since the Super Bowl, has had some say in draft picks, particularly higher picks. Maybe not the later picks where he's not doing his research. He's obviously watching these higher picks. To say that he's calling the shot, I'm not 100% sure. But to say that he's not saying, hey, we need receivers. I need you to go out and get a receiver. Here's three receivers in the first round, John, that we're looking at for this pick. Do you, you know, John likes that guy. Perriman is the guy I've heard from three or four different sources that was a John Harbaugh pick. So
right.
Things
and
like
here's
that.
The thing. I mean, you and I both know for sure from our people that Harbaugh has both picked people, but also vetoed people to pick his guy.
From what I hear, that is the case, that he's had some semblance of say in the draft. And again, it's not the whole thing. It may be touch and go here and there. It may be, hey, we need this kind of a player. Hey, we got to fill this hole. Hey, we can't. And maybe he's steered away from the BPA. Maybe he's the reason we have. I don't fully know that. And I don't want to pretend I do, to be honest with you. But from what I gather, he has definitely had some say. So that's part of the problem. The other thing is every coordinator he has selected has been shit. Okay? Offense and defense. Rosberg is a mainstay. Rosberg's been doing his thing forever. Okay? Let's take him out of the equation. Dean Pease. We won. That defense was not what it once was once Dean Pease came around. And the team won in spite of that. They had more talent than Pease was allowing. And this year it's been said, you know, Wink's giving them more freedom. Now, I think Wink is not the answer at the end of the day. I think he showed well in the beginning of the year. I think he's having trouble adjusting. But go to the offensive side of the ball because that's been the huge issue, right? I mean, and God, let's do it the other way this time. Offensive coordinators for the Ravens under John Harbaugh. Who is the worst one you can recall?
Mark Trestman.
Okay. I think that's
sure.
Safe. Let's see if I can pull up some of these other ones we had before. So I think Trestman was the worst. Cam Cameron was pretty freaking bad, though, man.
He was pretty bad. But,
did
man,
you know
so- at least he tried to run, though. You know what I mean? Mark Trestman didn't even try to hide the fact that he wanted to be a pass-first team. He had no idea how to use this offense to its strengths.
Okay, but let me put it this way. At least Mark Trestman went up to Canada and won a Grey Cup after leaving the Ravens.
Yikes. All right.
Camp Cameron went down to LSU. Now, I will say this. He is not responsible for recruiting, per se. He did end up with some seriously good talent at wide receiver while he was there, right?
He did.
Odell,
yeah.
Odell, right? Jarvis. Right. So right. he had some good guys. Then he got fired. Once the talent like worked its way through, we were like, oh wow, you're really a shitty coordinator, and got fired. Yeah, Dressman right. went up, won the Grey Cup in Canada, and then got shit canned this year after having the worst record in the CFL. So, but I mean, that's the crap.
Well,
he lost.
He lost every year, Posey, man.
Yeah, so let's keep going. I mean, you can even go to like a Juan Castillo offensive line coach. Remember, he got fired. Harbaugh mm-hmm. nabbed him up, and the offensive line struggled when he was there. And as soon as he was out, it was like, holy crap, this has turned around a good bit. So I think that the coaching selection has been bad. Now let's talk about the in-game stuff. He makes no in-game adjustments, right?
Correct.
He has awful management of the clock.
Oh, yeah. Missed timeouts, misused timeouts. Timeouts that aren't used.
Even worse, piss poor use of the challenge flag.
Yeah, acceptable.
So basically, the guys you're like, and I mean, we can go back to his doghouse as well. And somebody said to me the other day, have you ever seen one of the better players on this team in the doghouse? No. But I see guys who need snaps and need to develop, and these draft picks, like you said, he does not like starting draft picks. He likes to keep them reserved for a year or 2 years. Look what happened when you finally got Orlando Brown Jr. in at right tackle. All this time, yeah. if we would have started week one with Brown at right tackle and Hurst over at left guard instead of Alex Lewis, that line would have instantly been better.
Yeah, absolutely. It may not have been much better in run blocking.
Not in the beginning, no.
It still would have been better.
No, but the more snaps a guy gets like Brown, the better off they are. So, and I'm not an Alex Lewis guy, but you could have even convinced me that shifting him to center over Skura at first, maybe I would have okay with it. But that still would have made a better line to have Hurst move inside at left and then Brown over at right tackle. But he doesn't like to start rookies. I've seen a lot of young guys in their first and second years get pushed into the doghouse for some stupid bullshit reason. It's never anything legit like, hey, he got a DUI and got arrested or right. something like that. It's always some stupid shit like he got a penalty on special teams and it wasn't even a deserved penalty, but we're going to go ahead and bench him. Or don't quote me on this, but I believe there was an offensive lineman a few years ago who, and I'm saying like 3 years ago now, 4 years ago, who should have been starting and said something in a meeting that pissed him off enough that he benched him. So things like that where it's like, Jesus, man, I cannot believe that he makes these kind of decisions.
That was 2013, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
What you're referencing.
Yep. So that's the kind of stuff that he's doing. And all of that stuff is detrimental to the team. Now, let me counter and ask you a question. What has he done for this team in the positive in his career? Or even say just since the Super Bowl?
I mean, so it's hard to quantify that.
Yes.
Because you have to – there's not a really good answer to that question. I mean, if I'm being honest, like if you think about it, you and this isn't going to make sense to some fans because, not to sound like I'm better than people or you're better than people, but like some people don't know what we know. And if you think about it, with the discord that's been in the locker room and, you know, the people he's gotten rid of because he didn't like them or they didn't get along with him. Since the Super Bowl, what has he done? I mean, Greg Kubiak was not his guy. Gary Kubiak was not his guy.
Maybe Greg was his guy. Gary wasn't, though, yeah.
Right.
It's his long-lost brother, Greg. I'll take the lesser Kubiak. Yeah, that's the one I want. So
that would be a very Harbaugh move. So that's kind of – you kind of just exemplified my point there is that Harbs hasn't done anything for the team. Yes, he is a motivational guy. Yes, he has had a hand in keeping the special teams at the top of the league for a while.
Great. Sure.
Yeah, great.
How much does that account for in winning, though, when your offense and your defense have been struggling – literally every single year since their Super Bowl. You can say maybe 1 year. I think it was 1 year they had a top 10 offense.
To be fair.
Last year at the end of the year was different, yes.
To be fair. No, that's not what I was going to say. Ow. To be fair, there have been years where special teams was the difference, up to and including Justin Tucker beating the Lions. Literally just Justin Tucker. They scored touchdowns.
But
we
the
didn't.
Fact that,
we
yes.
But no, I think you're
got
correct.
To that point, yeah.
Right.
If
right.
special and teams is the only reason you're winning games, that's not a good look in the NFL.
No, absolutely not. That's not sustainable at all.
No.
But I think you're correct. I don't know that John Harbaugh has done much for this team, even before the Super Bowl, honestly. I mean, okay, so from 2008 to 2012, like, they were good years.
Right.
I don't know that it was Harbaugh. I think it was more a perfect storm and a well-built team that he inherited and only had to tweak slightly.
I agree. And I'm not saying any coach could have came in there and did what he did at all. And everybody listening needs to understand, too, we do focus on Harbaugh. Look, we have our guys, right? I hate CJ. I'm not a CJ guy. He's a good linebacker. He ain't great. He ain't getting paid top five, or at least he shouldn't. We have our guys that we kind of beat on, and that's what we do on NZI. But I'm not suggesting that everything is John Harbaugh's fault. Just like I wasn't suggesting everything is not Joe Flacco's fault. He's not a perfect quarterback. Harbaugh isn't an awful coach. But he's also causing, to me, more issues on this team than he is actually lending to wins at the end of the day. And that's my issue with him. And you can literally look at the last three games in this losing streak and say not a single freaking adjustment was made. You don't want to blame John. You blame the coordinators. Fine. I'm going to turn around and tell you he hired those coordinators. And it's his buddy system where I worked with this guy in Philly. I worked with that guy in Philly. I worked with this guy in Philly. Or my brother knew him and worked with him, and my brother knew him. That's how he does things, and that is not how you manage your coaching staff, at least in my opinion. You take the best candidate, not the guy you know or your brother knows, and it's not a buddy system all the time. Sometimes, yeah, it works. If the credentials are there, I guess, if there's reason to justify it. But when you can say Gary Kubiak was the best coordinator we had in Baltimore during Harbaugh's 10-plus years, and he was the only non-Harbaugh hire at coordinator or at offensive coordinator, that speaks volumes, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So you said something there that is interesting. You said not everything is his fault. So in your opinion, and I know you have one because you're a very opinionated individual.
It's called an asshole. I'm an asshole. But go ahead.
What is his fault?
I think... God, I mean, I literally just said everything, and then I said not everything. I think the coordinator selection over the years is a huge issue for this team. I think the reason that we've seen such inconsistency, there is less of a, well, let's talk about Flacco, right? There's less of a, man, Joe hasn't had the same coordinator because they keep getting hired away. That's bullshit. Jim Caldwell got hired away because of the Super Bowl. Gary Kubiak had a really good year here, a successful year. I'm not saying he blew up Joe's stats because he didn't. But the offense was a well-oiled machine that year, and it did well for what the team needed it to do. When you turn Justin Forsett into, you know, a good, really good running back, you know, in the back end of his career, that's phenomenal. So those two guys aside, and Kubiak was not a Harbaugh hire, and Jim Caldwell was not a OC Harbaugh hire. He was brought in as the quarterback's coach, right? After they fired Harbaugh's guy, he got moved up, and then he got hired. The rest, Cam Cameron got shit canned. Mark Trestman got shit canned. Marty is... going to get shit canned.
Get shit canned, yeah.
Right. So I think the coordinator issue and the constant turnover and everybody's saying Joe's never really had the same coordinators for multiple years in a row, that is a Harbaugh issue. That is not a Flacco issue. That is a Harbaugh issue. On the defensive side, is loyalty to Dean Pease year in and year out. Everybody's saying, God, the worst argument, and you'll agree, for the Super Bowl year. Well, the Ravens won because of the defense. That is literally one of the worst shitty takes I've ever heard, and people say it constantly, and that is an easy tell to know that somebody doesn't watch football.
So for anybody that is listening to this that is like, well, the Ravens did win because of the defense, that defense was ranked 25th through week 13. After the Super Bowl victory, it was ranked 17th. There is no realm in which the Ravens won that game, any of those games, because of the defense. There is no realm. Yes, they had a couple of good games. They were not the defining factor. There are only two quarterbacks to throw 11 touchdowns, zero interceptions through the postseason. The other one is Joe Montana. Joe Montana threw for 800 yards. Joe Flacco threw for 1,100 yards.
Right.
If you want to argue this with me, I will gladly argue it with you. But the end result is you're an idiot. So.
Correct. Thank you for that. So that's I think that's the biggest issue I have with Harbaugh. But his in-game management is also way up there for me. where they don't make adjustments. Like I said, the last three games, it's basically been the same damn routine. And if you look under – God, I could keep going all day. All right, you know what? I'm going to give you three more because I could literally just keep going. I'm going to stop at three more. All right,
we'll make it quick because we got two more topics before the next quarter. So.
Okay, ready? One, I cannot stand his bullshit coach talk at the end of games and press conferences where they get their asses handed to them and he goes, oh, we saw some good stuff on tape there. Bullshit. Be honest, because everybody knows you're talking out of your ass at that point in time, and I don't care if that's what you should say or that's the proper protocol. Bullshit. I want to hear you give me more of the they are who they thought they were kind of speeches. I want to hear John Harbaugh dropping his pants in the locker room like he's God, Singletary when he was with the 49ers. To make a scene. I want that kind of coach. I want a coach who doesn't sugarcoat shit and just tells me how it is, because I already know how it is. And most fans know how it is. But there's a small group of people who hear you say everything's great and they think everything's great because you say everything's great. Nah, I don't want that. That's one.
Yeah. Two. Well, those people don't understand coach speak. They don't understand reading between the lines. They don't understand context. So what's number two?
Number two for me is the inability to... It's the flags, man. The challenges are stupid. The wasting timeout, the not being able to run an appropriate 2-minute drill. And again, people will blame that shit on Joe to an extent. Yes. Do you remember how long they handcuffed Flacco from running, from audibling plays? Wasn't it like the first 5 or 6 years of his career? They would not let him audible a play at the line.
It was until the Super Bowl. Until the Super Bowl year.
Year, yes.
And then when they let him do it, that entire offense changed for the better.
That is not acceptable. Those kind of things are not acceptable, and that is not a Joe issue. Joe didn't say, I don't know how to audible, coach. I'm not going to do it. That is we're not going to let you audible. You'll take the damn plays that they're being called, and that's it. I cannot stand that bullshit. And I know it's different now, and you can put a lot more blame on Joe for certain things, and we do. But at the end of the day, if that's your coaching strategy, that's bullshit. You don't run a team like that. And my other issue, and I'll leave it at this one, and God, I listen to Bernard Pollard and love talking, going back and forth with him and listening to him talk all the time on Twitter. He's awesome.
Yeah, Crush but is it's a good true. Dude.
He says he speaks the truth. And some people may think it's not. It's him being bitter because he got cut. Dude speaks the truth. Harbaugh has hired a bunch of yes men. Every coordinator and coach he brings in are guys that he's worked with before. You owe me because I got you a job when you didn't have a job, or you owe me because I got you a promotion with this job when you were doing something else. Every player who speaks out, you're out the door. You're shit canned. You're in my doghouse. You're going to do it my way or you're going to leave. And that's not okay. He doesn't allow players to speak up. He doesn't allow personalities in the locker room. I feel like, and maybe this is just me noticing things or taking too much out of it, it feels to me like what we have now in Suggs is not the Suggs we used to have. Do you remember when he spread the Elite Flacco shirt, and before that it was the You Bet Your Ass I Hate Pittsburgh shirt?
He was always
outspoken, and he was great with them. That's not him anymore. He's very tempered and calm. And it could just be he's getting older, and he just doesn't get into that stuff anymore. But it, to me, feels almost like, God, everybody's just kind of, you know, stayed down. That's okay. There you go. On the shelf. That's where I was heading with that thing. So
yeah,
but that's the whole team now. Everybody's quiet. Everybody's a yes man. Everybody talks like John. Well, we saw some good stuff on tape and everything's great and we're not worried about it and we're on to the next game. No bullshit. Tell me you played like ass. You know what I mean? That's what I need. And I feel like this team has no personality. We talk about not having identity offensively or defensively. They don't have a personality anymore. And from a fan standpoint, you are vanilla as shit. And that does not bring people to the games.
No, absolutely not. And that's the thing. I mean, the Ravens are not interesting anymore. And no. I think that plays a big part in it, because you're correct. Everybody we hear or anybody we talk to at the press conferences, anything like that, they're all monotone and they say the same thing. Look, John Harbaugh is fiery on the sideline. There is absolutely no reason why he should not be the same way when he is behind that podium. None. Joe Flacco, I expect it from. That's who Joe Flacco is. John Harbaugh, not so much. So you've gone on like a 10-minute rant here about John Harbaugh.
I'm going to shut up.
So, no, you're not going to shut up. Here's my next question. Is there any way he keeps his job?
Yes, if he finds compromising pictures of Steve Bisciotti, or if he murders somebody. Like, I don't
– Super Bowl.
No, that's not going to happen, though. Like, unless, like
– Boy – I said, is there any way? I didn't say it had to be a plausible thing.
Okay, fair enough. Then yes. if he wins a Super Bowl, if he makes it, I will even say this, and I have literally no leg to stand on to say that this is verified or anything. I believe even if he gets that sixth spot, the only way they're getting it, as far as I'm concerned, is if somebody else goes down, or say, you know, all the other teams fall to shit and the Ravens get it at 8-8, because I don't see how they make 9-7 at this point in time. If they get it at 8-8 and they limp in there, number one, they're going to get their asses handed to them in the first round. And number two, I still don't think there's any reason to keep Harbaugh around. So I think he would either have to go on an absolute crazy ass tear and go 6-1 to end this season, get that sixth spot, and have to win at least one game to consider keeping his job. But I don't see that happening. But like you said, it doesn't have to be plausible. So
if that's the case, and I agree, I don't think there's any way that, Harbs is here in 2019. How does he actually get fired?
How does he get fired? Let's see.
Nope, don't think. Just tell me. Got to go to the next quarter here.
Okay. I think he gets fired by... I don't know. Just doing... Honestly, at this point in time, doing his job will get him fired. I don't think there's anything he can do at this point in time. Like, I was going to say starting Bob will get him fired. The only way starting Bob gets him fired is if he's specifically told from above, you will start Lamar Jackson, and he's like, ah, fuck you guys, I'm going to start Bob anyway. Like, I feel like that might get him fired. Basically, spitting in the face of upper management would get him fired at this point in time.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking he just gets, like, fired by text, but yeah.
That would be hilarious. Thanks, John. Right, man.
We're on to quarter three. So this quarter is fixing the Ravens, which is obviously something that, we need to take a look at. I want to do better about time management in this one, and I don't think we'll be as ranty. So, yep. Adam, give me your top two biggest issues with Baltimore as a team.
Offensive line.
The actual
line.
Personnel.
Yep, offensive line. They have zero run blocking. That's a huge issue, even though I don't particularly like the play calling. And then on the defensive side, the safeties are the biggest issue. I don't like CJ Mosley as much as other people do. But and by the way, you did catch him this week responding to my "he sucks in coverage," right? On Twitter.
I saw that. He laughed at you.
Yeah, whatever.
He didn't deny it, though.
He didn't deny it. And, let his play do the talking, I guess. But I think the safeties have become the bigger issue. And I honestly was one of the guys in the beginning of the year that thought we had a good, not great, a good, I would say in that 10 to 12 range of safety duo. And now I'm like, nah, they're like mid 20s at best. So I think the safety play on the defense and the offensive line, specifically the run blocking on the offense, those are our two biggest issues right now.
Offensive line, I completely agree with you. Obviously, you know me, anytime somebody's like, Alex Collins sucks, then I give a complete offensive line breakdown. So obviously, you know,
it's
I agree, though.
It's accurate. It's the line is, and the play calling, like I said, just as much as it is the line. I think if you look at the three facets of the run game, it's going to be the play call, it's going to be the blocking, and it's going to be the back. I think the backs are the least of the issues.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
But anyway,
so I don't necessarily agree with the whole safety thing. Here's why. Okay. Yes, they could be better. All right. Before anybody fucking jumps down my throat. Yes. Both of them, Eric Weddle and Tony Jefferson could be better.
Actually, in all fairness, however, TJ Jefferson plays for Greg Kubiak. So we're good.
Yeah. Look at me. however, we don't have a fucking pass rush, man.
Okay, you know what? I got so focused on the safeties. You're right. That is just as big of an issue.
Well, and it hurts the fucking safeties. So
you mean like when Ben has 30 seconds to jump around in the backfield, take a nap, right, drop a deuce, and then he can throw the ball? Yeah.
Break another fingernail? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's my point. So if you want to blame the safeties, then I'm going to blame the pass rush. All right?
Yeah.
What is it? 3 games, 2 sacks. Okay?
Yeah.
3 games, 2 sacks. The vaunted Baltimore defense has 2 sacks over 3 games. They only had a handful of pressures over those 3 games.
Well, and then you can even counter that going back to not necessarily the safeties, but the DBs in general, or the defense in general. That pressure on the quarterback is what they need to create turnovers, and they can't do shit for turnovers this year. Well, they have six?
One per game is what they're averaging.
Seven?
Right now.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't even that much. And shit, they've had 2 out of 7 forced fumbles or 9 forced fumbles go their way. The other ones bounce right back to the opposing team. So, right. Yeah, there's definitely some issues. But you can really, it's chicken and the egg, right? If there's a pass rush, it helps the secondary play better. If the secondary is playing better, it gives a little more time for the pass rush to get home if they can. But it also doesn't help when you're rushing.
This year it's a little bit different. So last year, the team led the league in turnovers. Wasn't really much of a pass rush. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. And the secondary was just so good that the pass rush had time to get home. And of course, playing against backup quarterbacks kind of helped that. Yep. This year, the secondary is banged up. It has not been playing as well. The pass rush still can't get home. So you're seeing degradation all over the defense. So my question to you, Adam, would be, from those two things that you gave me as the biggest problems, are the solutions already on the team?
So the offensive line, not necessarily a solution, but an improvement would be exactly what I said. If Hurst gets healthy after the bye, you start him at left guard and you bench Alex Collins' ass, and that makes the team better on the offensive line right away.
Hold on. You bench Alex Collins and that makes the offensive line better?
Yeah, because obviously I definitely didn't mean Alex Lewis. God, we're awful with names today. All right, let's keep moving. So now, does that improve it? Yes. Ultimately, though, the play calling needs to be better. Now, whether you believe that stop putting Lamar in there for run plays, even though he's, what, is he second on the team in rushing yards? Things we should know?
Yes. Yes, he is second in the team in rushing yards. He actually leads the team in yards longest run with 22 yards.
And yards per carry. So,
yeah.
Oh, pardon me. So, I don't think taking him out makes the team a better running team. I think that they need to be – I think it needs to be less of this outside bullshit run game. They need to try to run between the tackles. They haven't because they can't. If you fix the offensive line woes – i.e. Alex Collins, Alex Lewis. Okay. So if you do that, I think you are more likely to succeed in between the tackles than you are with what you have right now. So that being said, I think that is a fixable or at least an improvable issue. On the defensive side, do you have the safeties? No, you don't. Not healthy, at least. Not guys that aren't on the IR. I don't think you have both, but I think you got. I think you and I agree on the upside for Deshaun Elliott moving forward into
absolutely.
The future.
Yeah,
I really
he's
like
a
that
future
kid.
Starter for sure.
Yeah. So as far as I'm concerned, do they have the answer today? No, and they won't this season. But next year, yes, I do. Is Chuck Clark in play in there eventually? I don't know, but. I think
maybe as a stand-in, but then the problem with that is then you're running two of the same types of safeties again. Yes. Which you really need if you're going to run two of the same kind of safeties, you need both of them to be more free safety and less strong safety. Right now, it's like we have two strong safeties on the team.
Yep. So that being said, I still think. We're not even going to get into the draft stuff until after the season's done because that'll. God, I can go crazy with that stuff. Deontay Thompson. So I think that's not something easily fixed. I think the only way you can fix that is what you're alluding to, which is the pass rush.
But here's the other problem. With the pass rush, we don't have the guy on the team either. Za'Darius Smith got hot, then he got cold. Tim Williams showed promise, then got injured.
Matt Judon.
Matt Judon showed promise in the second half last year. I don't know where the hell he is this year. Terrell Suggs, he's old. Tyus Bowser supposedly took a developmental leap. Haven't seen him. So I don't know that the answer is there for the pass rush either. Interior, Kenny Young, he's doing great. Peanut stepped it up a little bit. CJ is CJ. I mean, you know what we have there. Best case scenario for that, tank and draft Devin White. Get rid of CJ. Then you got Kenny Young and Devin White side by side in the middle of your defense. Let's go.
Yep. By the way, just so you know now, Ben Baldwin. Who is Ben Baldwin with? I don't know. You got a blue check mark, bro. Athletic Seattle. So he did post that same play we were just talking about at 12:45 in the game for Flacco's injury, saying this is when it happens. There's your verification.
Sweet.
Yep. So we got that. Yay.
I want everybody to know that Adam found it before that guy.
Okay. Right. As of the time of this recording, I'm sure somebody else had it out there already, but
shut up.
Yep. No, I'm going to take credit because in Seattle, they're 3 hours behind. So he thinks he got it before me because his time says different, but I got it first. So I just couldn't get to tweeting it because we're doing a podcast right now. I can't, I can't even talk and chew gum or walk and chew gum or walk and talk for that matter.
Every time you can look up a stat, you're like, hold on, I'll bring it up here. And you try to talk and it sounds like an autistic mushroom trying to just speak. Yeah.
Don't ever expect any more out of me. You'll learn.
I don't. So do you think a rebuild is the only answer for this team?
I mean, yeah, I've been saying that since last year. I didn't want this coaching staff back this year. I thought that the writing was on the wall already, and I feel like this is just trying to reach. But I also understand the reason for keeping everybody on course for one more year. And again, I don't have to get into the tinfoil hat stuff because we're not going to go crazy with this one. But I still need to get this thing in writing so at least it's out there so nobody can say I'm crazy. But ultimately, I think that this year was set up for at least mediocrity, but success for Joe Flacco and some of these other players trying to build their value for trades to tear this thing down in line with the new GM regime under Eric DaCosta. A new coaching staff. They got LJ ready to go at least for 2019 before they can see what they have. Because God, I love the 2020 QB room for the draft. So that'll be good too.
Give me
another option. So
I love it enough that I'm completely comfortable with them being like, "Hey guys, we fucked up, and we're gonna take another QB right now."
And that's perfectly fine if that happens. Honestly, I'm not mad. I would rather see that than – and that's why I said I don't see them hanging on to Joe for one more year if they're rebuilding the team under a new coaching staff. It literally makes no freaking sense to do that. So I think he's done after this year and moving on. But I think they spent this year trying to build value back up after a 9-7 year, but the stats weren't really there to kind of – get the trades that they would like to see, pull some picks back in and make some magic happen. And I honestly think that those picks are going to be shooting for 2020, not 2019, knowing they're not competing next year and they can push them down the road while they continue to shed cap over the next year or two. But
right. Or they grab the 2019 picks, right? Yep. And then they trade those for 2020 picks and they amass a shit ton of picks in 2020. They try to compete a little bit in 2019. Then they use those 2020 picks to move up. They draft Fromm. They draft Tua, whoever the hell.
Oh, I can't even imagine Tua. I literally could not imagine having Tua here. But
I'd lose my shit, dude.
I told you I'm not buying jerseys anymore because I'm not a jersey guy. I would buy that jersey. I would buy that jersey right away. But yeah, so to answer the question, yes, I think a rebuild is necessary at this point in time. I don't see any way that John Harbaugh is back next year. I don't see any way that Joe's back next year and a whole list of players that I have. You can't cut every vet. I know that. But I think there's at least four that will not be here next year. And some people, I mean, most of them logically make sense. Some might hurt a little bit. Hey, who the hell knows if Terrell Suggs is going to hang him up after this year? Because quite frankly, if you're going to tell a veteran like Suggs, hey, we don't want you to leave the franchise. If you do, that's cool, but we're also rebuilding. He may say, I'd like to go elsewhere and chase a ring. He may say, no, I'm good. I'm going to hang him up. My body's beat, and I've done what I've done, and I'm happy. So there's so many.
Lay the options out in front of him.
Exactly. So we shall see. But yeah, let's cue for it, man.
Yeah, as far as a rebuild, man, I've always been the, all right, let's retool. Let's see what happens. But I think it's that time. It just seems primed for a rebuild, and I think that it just needs to get out of the way. Because if they don't rebuild in 2019, 2020, then what is it, another 5-7 years of absolute bullshit just being a 500 team for the next half a decade? I'm less okay with that. People are like, oh, well, I want to win. Me, dude, I'll be the Browns for a couple of years. Just get me a good team out of it.
You know what the biggest – and before we keep moving here, the biggest tell to me of why I don't like John Harbaugh and why he is not the coach for my team is 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago in a press conference, I think it was 2 weeks ago when they hit 500 after the Carolina game. He said this is a – what did he say? This is a league built for 500 or play or something like that, or something around – this is an 8-8 league. Basically, yeah. He's conceding and saying that it's okay to be average all the time. That is not a trait you want in your head coach, and that's not what you want to see from your team. If you're not pissed for excellence and you're not trying to get to the playoffs and you're not trying to win everything, then what the hell are you doing, man? Go back to the college ranks.
Right. Like, you know, I said it. Yeah. I said that this season's over because this team is not winning a championship. People said I had a defeatist attitude and I was not a real fan and this, that, and the third, and I'm giving up. I mean, that's just realism, man. I want a ring every single year.
And you should.
If we're not getting a ring, the fucking season is over.
Yes.
There's no way around that.
And that's not you. It was never you saying, all right, well, tank now and try to get a high pick. And it wasn't you saying, well, rest all your starters at that point. No, that's not – you were literally saying, if you're not going to make it to the big game and you have no hope to do so, and there's not like there's only two teams out there and everybody else should quit, there's still half a league worth of teams that are in position to make a run. And you never know. We've seen wildcard teams that are 8-8 and 9-7 make some runs in the postseason. But you're basically saying, and I totally agree with you, looking at this team, record aside, looking at this team, this is not a team that is built to contend, period.
Is this team beating the Rams?
No, hell no.
Is this team beating the Saints?
No, they're not going to beat the Chiefs.
Are they beating
either.
The Chiefs?
Nope.
Yeah, the Chargers. Exactly. So there's four teams just right off the bat that this team would have to get past
and
try to make the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Go beyond that. They can't beat the Patriots right now. This team is not. If this team played Pittsburgh five more times, they would lose all five of them. The way the Steelers are playing right now versus the way the Ravens are playing right now, I could literally name 10 teams.
Well,
that.
To be fair, you did tweet something about possibly winning that game if our quarterback wasn't hurt.
I did, but the way they're playing right now, I'm talking about watching that game last night. You got your asses handed to you by the Panthers. The Panthers just
Pittsburgh.
Got their asses handed.
Yes.
After watching that game last night, that's the version of the Steelers that I'm saying there's no way in hell they're beating that team.
Oh, 52 points is fucking wild.
No, and I would take literally every single one of their weapons down to almost James Watch. So if you would put AB on this team, he'd be a one. You put Juju on this team, he's a one. You put James Conner on this team, he's a starting running back. You put the tight ends, I think, are our only weapons advantage that we have right now. But even their defense looks better than our defense right now, and they're not statistically better than us. But we got the benefit
and
of these
talent-wise
games.
Better either. Like Cody said, Sabala
but they're
and
being
Burnett.
Coached better. They're being coached better, and they're playing. If you watch, and we've got let's move beyond this. But I saw the last three games; they are rushing the passer and they're blitzing in the first quarter, like some crazy 70% of the plays or something stupid like that. Yeah. And it's effective, and they're getting early leads, and teams can't catch up because they're tossing the ball around trying to play, you know, a shootout, and they can't do that when they're being killed like that in the backfield. But anyway, we're not.
So,
yep.
Speaking of teams that the Ravens have to get past to make the dance, what is your best and worst possible scenario for the final seven games for Baltimore?
I do not, and this isn't, I mean, best is always going to be like, 7-0, worst is 0-7. Realistic best to me is 5-2. That is a realistic best. I do not see any way they beat KC in Kansas City or the Chargers in LA. I do not see any way they win either of those road games.
Okay, so.
Go ahead.
My question to you is 7-0 really the best case scenario? And here's what I mean by that. It goes back to our previous conversation about this team not winning a championship. Okay. They face outside of the Chargers at 15th and the Browns at 11th. They face the 25th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, something like that. Easiest defenses. Okay. So take that. Then they get into the playoffs. They're playing better defenses. They're playing much better offenses. They fail immediately, correct? Like you would assume.
Yeah.
They're going to fail immediately. Okay. So then you not only do not have a championship, but you also do not have a pick in the top 20, maybe even 25.
To basically, you just flirted in mediocrity. Once again, you made it in.
Right.
You got your ass handed to you right away, and you're still picking in that, like, 18, 19 range.
So I repeat the question. Is 7-0 the best possible scenario?
Okay, 7-0 is the best possible scenario if you're John Harbaugh. That's it. No, okay. You're right. For the team, no, it is not. For Harbaugh, yeah, absolutely it is. But for the team, no, it is not the best scenario.
So I would make the argument that 7-0 is actually the worst possible scenario. However, I will extend that to the worst possible scenario for this team is any scenario that gets them in the postseason.
That's fair. I can see what you're saying.
Because you're going to have a draft pick, and you are not built to contend, this team will go one and done.
So,
and don't give me that whole bullshit about, oh, the Ravens are better in the postseason. No, the Ravens were better when they got to the postseason. They used to turn it on when they got to the postseason. You have not seen this team in the postseason in the past three seasons. So how the fuck are these people telling me that the Ravens are better when they get in the postseason if they have no fucking clue?
So then here's my best scenario then. I'm going to change that around. My best scenario in the final seven games is that they win the next two games with Lamar for the sake of the future and finish the year as a whole, I'd say 4-3, because that's enough to me, putting them at 8-8 to stay out of the playoffs. I do not believe 8-8 gets you in. I think you need to get to 9-7 to get that sixth spot, because, again, right. I honestly think Cincy gets it. But at least you have those two games of hope for Lamar, that you've seen something to give you some kind of a hope for 2019, but at the same time, you aren't making it in, so you know the wholesale changes are coming anyway. And you get a decent pick when you're sitting there. At least you're at like 14, 13, somewhere in that range. I guess you could say the best case scenario is, oh, if they lose out, you're going to get a really high pick.
Right, right. But Ravens fans will be really hard to deal with, though. But it'll be really fun, because if they start Lamar Jackson, they go 0-7. You know how much fun I will have with you people?
Oh, yeah, you will.
You know how much fun?
Yep.
So much. So much fun. All right. Quarter four. Let's do that. Let's do quarter four. This should be fun. This will be as much fun as Lamar Jackson going 0-7. So, I believe that Adam, not me, Adam, stole this from Stick to Football, who hosts that.
So I was listening to it. I think it was Connor Rogers on there with Matt Miller. So that's the Bleacher Report guys. It's basically a draft podcast. I'm hyping another podcast on our podcast, but that's perfectly fine. Those guys aren't going to get
it. It's Bleacher Report. So everybody knows that Bleacher Report is a bunch of clowns.
So, but there, it's a great podcast. So, I listen to them a lot. Right, so I listen to them for trade talk or for college talk, for draft talk, a lot of good stuff in there. So that being said, they do top five. Everybody does top fives, right? I mean, it's just a thing. Nobody owns top fives. Nobody can say, "Well, we created top fives and you all stole it." No, bullshit. Everybody's counted down since the days of SportsCenter top 10. We all count down stuff. So
now I want to find the top five people that started the top five.
There we go. That's what a great top five that would be. So today I'm listening. They did a top five of most hated players, and realistically some of it for them, because it's a college podcast, primarily was driven off of guys they hated from college games, right? And they had a couple guys in there who were on our team, and it's fine because I didn't totally disagree with it.
Who were they?
So one of them being the one guy is a 49ers fan, so he obviously hates Michael Crabtree.
Okay.
Ray Lewis, because everybody outside of Baltimore hates Ray Lewis.
Right. And you know what? Except a large part of Baltimore hates Ray Lewis too.
Yeah, they do.
They fuck with him on a football level, but not like on another level. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hold on one second. And Bob was on there, and I can't remember why they had Griffin on there. There was a reason.
Seems rude.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's a super likable guy. He's really like way too mushy with his old lady, but other than that, he's a pretty likable dude.
Yeah, so
he's
so
not for like me, laying on the hood of a car wearing denim, so that's nice.
So for me, I just kind of said, look, we're NFL fans. We don't have to go the college route on this at all, but I'd love to kind of get into our five most hated players. But I'm going to kind of cut the parameters, and I'd like to say five current most hated NFL players, because it's easy enough to go back to a Hines Ward or a Joey Porter, guys like that. So I want to say the five current most hated non-Ravens. Don't pick a Raven. Don't be that guy. Don't say Lamar Jackson. I know you want to.
I was not going to say Lamar Jackson.
So go ahead.
And I was going to pick a Raven, but it wasn't going to be Lamar Jackson.
Well, give me your five. Let's just go all five. Just roll them out.
All right. So J.J. Watt, for sure.
God, you know what's funny? They said that too, and I don't get it.
He's so fucking good, dude. Like, not good as a player. He is good as a player, but, like, as a person, like, nobody is that wholesome. Nobody. I don't care. I don't care. Nobody is that giving and that, like, happy just all the time. No.
Right.
He's a robot. He is an android. I promise you.
Okay,
cut him open. It's fake blood. He's an android. J.J. Watt, number five.
Keep going.
Number four. Kiko Alonso.
No, I totally agree with that.
Yep. Don't even need to explain it, right? He's got that face that you hate.
Yep.
He's slotted in at number four. Number three, Tom Brady.
Absolutely.
Absolutely hate him. Number two, Ben Roethlisberger.
That's totally fair.
Yep. Number one, and this one may surprise some people. However, my number one most hated player, it used to be Matt Ryan, but now I've just gotten used to the whole sunburn look. So my number one most hated player in the entire league is Julio Jones.
Interesting.
Here's why. And this is completely selfish of me. So I knew he was going to be a phenomenal player, right?
Okay.
And I drafted him first overall pick, year one, year two, year three. This motherfucker never finds the end zone.
God, he can't 2 years
run strong. He has made me lose over $750 in 1 year.
Jesus.
Because he cannot find the end zone. So Julio Jones is the number one most hated player in the entire NFL for me.
God. That's a solid one. I'll give you that. So
if I had picked the Ravens, by the way, it would have been Matt Judon.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
He wants to fight me, and he just has boneheaded penalties all the time. So,
So my write-in would have been Dez Bryant, but he's out of the league again. So,
I actually feel bad for him. Like, I've just been like trolling him mercilessly this whole time, and now that this happened, like, I just feel bad.
Okay, so I'm going to start number five with Breshad Perriman because he's not a Raven anymore and he is technically an NFL player and I hate him for everything he did to this franchise.
I completely forgot about him.
See, it's easy to pick players who are not current Ravens. I will put Matt Ryan at number four because I hate his face.
Okay.
That's all I have to hate about him. I hate his face.
That's why I hate him too.
I hate his face. Every time I go to like a farm and I see a horse, I'm like, God, I hate Matt Ryan.
He does have a very punchable face.
I think that's probably the best word for it. I will put Brady at three as well. I hate him because he's good, and that's it. I used to hate him for a lot more. I just hate him because he's good now.
I hate him because, like, all right, I hate him because of the way people think about him. Everyone thinks he's, like, this god or whatever. But also, like, have you ever seen him laugh? So I really hate people that when they laugh, like, Terrell Suggs is an exception here. But when they laugh, like, their gums show.
Yes.
And fucking Tom Brady's got like these little like chiclet teeth that I just want to punch down his throat. I hate his face. He's a Matt Ryan for me. I hate his face.
Yep. Yep. That's all good. I will put Roethlisberger at two.
That's where I had him too.
Again, I respect his game. I hate how he just I hate watching him stand in the pocket, bounce around, and he finds somebody every goddamn time. It's incredibly infuriating.
His drama is horrendous. Like, retire already, Favre. Jesus.
Yeah. And number one, and this will have absolutely no merit to it whatsoever, I hate James Conner because he has that douchey haircut and I just want to smack it off his head. Like, that haircut alone makes you my number one most hated player. God, that thing is awful.
That haircut does suck. But have you seen Alex Lewis's mullet?
Oh, it's awful. He's an idiot, too.
He is flat out Joe Dirt, man.
Bro thinks he's freaking Canadian or something.
Yeah, it's wild.
So
that's your five. All right.
That's it, man.
Cool. I think we're done here.
Yeah. Solid tonight, and appreciate it. And hopefully everybody can tell us how wrong we are about Harbaugh and Flacco.
And Lamar.
And Lamar. And Mosley.
No.
Judon.
Nobody can tell us we're wrong about Mosley.
Right. So
there are times where I would rather have Peanut there. There's times Peanut makes plays, and I'm just like, hey, look at that. CJ couldn't have done that.
I would like to have Zach Orr with his broken neck there sometimes, but.
Oh, Ryan Shazier with his no spine.
All right.
We've gone too far. We're done here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being patient with us as we released our bi-week weekend version of the Neutral Zone Infraction podcast. Once again, remember, we are now part of the Fanimal podcast network or whatever. Tony really needs to be more clear on how to say that name. Yes. Next week, we are supposed to have a special guest, Joe Goodberry. Goodberry.
Thanos. Sure.
Joey G. Thanos, yes. Viral Thanos. So we're supposed to have him on to talk Bengals and Ravens. So we will do that. We will probably be without Joe Flacco. They will probably be without AJ Green. Going to be a real weird matchup, man. Real weird. As always, please rate, subscribe, review on iTunes. Follow everybody over at Russell Street Report. And buy stuff on SeatGeek, I think.
T-shirts. Right? All those good things. Yep.
Cool. We done here?
We are done here.
All right. It's been real.
Later,
you guys. You guys have yourself a night.